The United States Court of International Trade is now in session. The Honorable Jane A. Rustani presiding before court number 21-00624. Blue Sky, the Color of Imagination, LLC versus the United States. Will the attorneys please state their names for the record, starting with the plaintiff?
Chris Duncan for the plaintiff, Blue Sky, the Color of Imagination.
Elon Pollock for Blue Sky, Color of Imagination.
Monica Triano on behalf of the United States.
I have no idea what you guys just said on this side.
Monica Triana on behalf of the United States.
Maria Kavir representing CDP.
Now, when you come to court, speak up. All right, please be seated. All right, who wishes to go first this morning or afternoon, as the case may be?
We'll go first, Your Honor.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Thanks for having us. Chris Duncan here, as you mentioned, on behalf of the plaintiff, Blue Sky, the Color of Imagination. We also have at our table Elaine Peterson on behalf of Blue Sky. She is the Vice President of Operations and Production for Blue Sky.
Yeah, maybe it's better if we just call him Blue Sky. Otherwise, it's going to take forever.
I'm going to call Blue Sky.
Get the name out.
Yes, long story behind the name we don't need to get into. Also at the table, we have Elon Pollock, also as counsel for Blue Sky, and he is prepared to discuss the motion to strike. If you'd like some discussion on that, I'm going to talk about the classification at issue in the motions for summary judgment. And with the court's permission, I'd like to start with your five questions, Your Honor, that you presented to us, about a week ago.
Okay.
So thank you for the questions. I think they're very helpful to the parties. They focus us in on what we should be focused on, because this is an eo nomine provision, which is the terms in the tariff. And more particularly, the questions really narrow us in on that we should be looking at the British English definitions of the terms. So I'll go right to your first question. We do agree with you, Your Honor, that yes, we should be looking at the British English terms of the or definitions of the terms in the tariff, not the American definitions. So we agree with you 100% on that. And to go back to the point again, and looking at
I actually don't know that it's me. I was citing some cases.
Okay. Well, we cite with Victoria's Secret and the court in an agreement that we should be looking at the British English definitions.
All right.
And, you know, I think that's particularly important because, again, if you look at General Rule of Interpretation 1, for eo nomine provisions, such as the ones that we're talking about in this case, it all turns on whether the product is one of the terms in the tariff. And to know whether it's one of the terms, of course, have to know what the terms mean. That's where the British English Dictionary definitions come in. And I'll note right off the bat that if you look at the British English definition of calendar, it is a system showing the days, weeks, and months of a civil year. That holds true if it's the Oxford Dictionary, the Webster's International Dictionary, the Cambridge Essential Dictionary of British English. All of them essentially say that same definition, a system showing the days, weeks, and months of a civil year. And we posit to you that our Blue Sky planners at issue in this case certainly meet that definition because they do show in print the days, weeks, and months of a calendar year. In this case, it's calendar year 2021. And frankly, that, we believe, should end the inquiry. But that's your first question. I hope I've answered all of that part of the first question. I'll turn to the second question, which builds on the first question, and that goes into the British English definition of the word diary, which is in heading 4820, of course. And the question was, looking at the British English definition of diary, is the Blue Sky Planner a diary? And our answer is no. If you look at the definition of diary, both in the dictionary and more importantly for us, the way that the Federal Circuit read the dictionary definition and held in the Mead case, a diary is a record of past daily events, experiences, and observations. The Mead Court really emphasized that word record, And the importance of that is a record is a documentation, a memorialization of something that's happened in the past. In order to be recorded, it has to have already happened. And a diary is where you record things that have already happened, experiences that you've already had, observations you've had, feelings you've had, or even impressions that you've had.
So I think your argument is that I'm bound by the Federal Circuit's definition in need of diary.
That's correct.
Okay. Even though it's a different product, even though they didn't look at the ENs for calendar, and even though they didn't make a single reference to the HTS being British English.
Yes, because if you looked at the dictionaries that they cited to, they were British English dictionaries such as Oxford.
Okay, and that they just forgot to read the second definition of diary.
Well, I don't know if they forgot to read it, but they narrowed in on that main definition, which is a record of something that's happened in the past. And that is consistent with the definitions in the Oxford Dictionary, the Cambridge Dictionary.
It's consistent with one of the definitions. My problem with need is they didn't have the calendar issue before them, so they never had occasion to look at the ENs.
Right.
And what do I do with the Court of Appeals that doesn't have an argument before it? How much can it bind me if it didn't have the argument before it?
Well, I think it did have the argument before it in the sense of what it felt was that common British English dictionary definition of diary, right? That central meaning. And that is applicable even to items that weren't before it that day. We agree that the Mead Court had it right in terms of its definition of diary, and it's the Circuit Court, so that's important. And it did go through several different definitions of diary, and it came to the conclusion that it really does, and that is, I think, generally consistent with common understanding. A diary or a journal is something where you sit down and you have essentially endless space to write down something that happened to you on a given day and your feelings and your impressions about that.
Okay, let me check, it's not limited
by any kind of scope. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. I'm looking at the Oxford, there's a Cambridge Essential English Dictionary defines diary as either a book in which you write about what you have done and your thoughts and feelings, or a book in which you write things that you must remember to do.
Right.
So that's prospective, not retrospective, right?
Yeah, that is, yeah.
And then Oxford English Dictionary defines a diary as a daily record of events, a journal, a daily record of matters affecting the writer personally, or a book prepared for keeping a daily record or having spaces with printed dates for daily memorandums and jottings, and also daily memoranda or matters of importance to people generally.
Again, the emphasis there was on a record, right? So this is something that's happened in the past. So the overwhelming amount of the definitions are memorializing something that has happened in the past, and that's why the Circuit Court and Mead centered in on that definition. Now, you mentioned that the Mead Court didn't look at calendar, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but I might as well point out the reason that the Mead Court did not look at calendars because there was nothing before the court that had any calendar in it. The Mead planner had no calendar pages, not a single dated page, not any kind of page showing the days, weeks, months of the year. And that's critically important.
And
that is more
important.
We know
that from a description in the case or from something else.
We know that because of the item numbers listed in the case and our own independent research. After your letter, Your Honor, and again, we didn't bring up the Mead case, the government did. After receiving your letter, we went to do some research, and we contacted Jeff, and we contacted the court, and we said we'd like to see if there's any samples because these are older items and they're hard to find. We weren't able to find any samples there because it was a quite old case, and there wasn't even any digitized copies of what the pages.
Yeah, I think usually samples are returned to the parties or destroyed.
So that wasn't the surprise. So we've done some independent research, and Elaine is an expert in calendars, and so she was able to locate, I believe it was in Canada, some of the items for me. And we haven't received them yet, but we would I was going to say this at the end, but we would ask permission that we share them with the government and submit them to the court for the court's review once we do receive them. And if the government has any objections after observing them, that's fine.
I guess I'll let you work this out with the government.
Okay. We do have a representative sample, which I have shared with the government. It's not one of the exact items, the five items in need, but is identical to one of the five items, the pocket-sized planner. And I did offer that to the government, but I'm not trying to offer that into evidence today or anything because it is a different model number than the five at, in me. But of note,
I'm going to let you guys work out all that.
Of course. The importance is it does not have any dated pages in it, not a single page with any dates. And it, to be a calendar, it has to have days, weeks, and months of the year. It can't just be blank pages, and that's what's in the need planner that was before the court in need.
Since Mead didn't have a calendar, I'm not sure why they came up with this definition of retrospective and prospective and all that, because you could drop whatever you wanted down. You could write, have a doctor's appointment on Tuesday. I thought the essence was it wasn't bound and it had a lot of stuff in it besides places to journal, I guess.
It does.
Right. So I'm not sure how central the definition of prospective retrospective was to the Mead decision. You think.
It was important because there was a section called planner, right? And planner would connote something in the future. And so the Mead court was looking at that and saying, is this what you would use a diary for, to plan in the future? And they came to the conclusion
that.
So
in their mind, they had a very narrow definition of diary, which may not be as narrow as British English or French. And we know the HTS is in French as well. And I think, I forgot what word they use. What do they use? Agenda? Well, they don't, agenda's English, not.
It's French
as well? Show me the word. Not that we can pronounce anything. It does say agendas. Oh. It says agendas. For diary.
So
that sounds like perspective.
Possibly, although I still think the Mead court got it right. There are various definitions and different language used, but the overwhelming number of the definitions of British English are that it is a record of something. A record meaning something that happened in the past.
Is that the French word? What's the French word? No, just write it down.
And I should note, the government doesn't argue that it is a diary either for the record.
I know they want it to be other, but they may feel bound by need. But and it's also irrelevant to the amount of duty in this case. The problem is Jarvis Clark, and I'm supposed to land on the right spot.
Sure.
So,
and I'm here to help you do that, Your Honor.
You're going to hand me something there? I want to see that word. Not that I ever. It is. It's spelled the same, huh? Oh, agendas. And,
right.
Well, how do you think you pronounce agenda? How do you pronounce agenda? All right. That's our French for the day.
Yeah. All right. I'll take it. I did not know that. Learn something every day.
All right.
Well, you know, so I understand where the court is coming from on that. I do think that.
I have to land somewhere.
Yeah. I think the Mead court got it right in terms of a diary. Again, if you look at chapter 48 and heading 4820, lots of different stationary items are listed, diary being one of them. And there's lots of other things they can write in. The Mead court, I think, the conclusion that it's something to record the past makes sense in the context of all of those other stationary items, because actually all of those items are about writing down information from the past. And I'll talk about that in a moment.
You going to talk about the ENs? Because the ENs are a big problem for
you. Yeah, I am. And I'll talk about that right now, actually, because the third question is about engagement calendars, which are right there in the ENs.
Right.
And that's that confusing section that you're narrowing in on, Your Honor, where it says from heading 4910, excluded are memorandum pads incorporating calendars and diaries, parenthetical, including so-called engagement calendars. We read that as two separate categories, one being a memorandum pad, which is essentially just a lined notepad that may have a calendar at the beginning or the end for reference. We agree. That's not a calendar. That's a memorandum pad, and it has, as an ancillary aspect, a calendar to it. The other item is more tricky, as you mentioned, Your Honor. Diaries, parenthetical engagement calendars. So that seems odd. An engagement calendar is a type of diary. That's how I read the parenthetical. The resolution of that is when you look at, again, there is no British English definition of engagement book or engagement calendar. I think we agree on that. That was pointed out in your letter, Your Honor. But if you look at the American definition of engagement calendar, it says almost verbatim that Mead definition of diary. A daily record, again, record meaning memorialization of something that happened in the past, of daily appointments and engagements. Strange, because usually you think of an appointment as something that you're going to make in the future, or an engagement as something that's in the future. But the definition is very clear, and it's repeated in numerous...
Where are you getting that definition of engagement calendar?
That was... I believe that was dictionary.com. It was very hard to find these. But I think in the Collins Dictionary, it's very similar, if not the same.
Yeah, these are American dictionaries, right?
Exactly, because there are no... If you look in the British dictionaries, and we look in several, it doesn't come up at all.
Yeah, engagement calendar is not a British term. It's
sure.
An American term, I
yes.
think.
Yes, and,
okay.
and all of the American dictionaries speak of it as a book to record social engagements and appointments.
But that could be prospective as well as retrospective.
No, because the word record means recording something that already happened.
No, it doesn't. It means
according to Mead, it does.
According to Mead, again. This case may come down to how much I'm bound by Mead, which did not really address either the products or the dictionary definitions I'm confronting now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does Mead actually, let me look at it, actually say record only means record the past? I don't think they gave a definition of record, did they?
Yes, they did.
Okay, what page of Mead is that?
Okay, it's the sentence starts, in addition, a diary, but let's see if I can find that. I think it's 1348. Yes, I believe it's 1348. Yes, 1348.
Okay.
It's sort of in the middle. There's a paragraph that begins, in addition, a diary is a quote, unquote, record in the sense that it, quote, recalls or relates past events, unquote.
Okay. And it is a record, okay, in parentheses. So used as a noun in parentheses, a record is only the past.
Yes. Exactly. A diarist records events.
You can record future things, or you could record past things. But a record noun, in this sense, is definitely past. It's a record of something that already happened.
I don't know. I would agree you can record something in the future, but we don't need to
get
there. You can note this.
I have an appointment with the doctor next Tuesday. I want to record that here so I will remember it.
I don't think that's the correct use of the word. I think it would be note or... notate. I think record, and they go on again, a diarist records, so they're using it as a verb, events, observations, feelings, and thoughts after they happen. So they're using
certainly
the verb.
Famous diarists recorded things after they happened. I just have a problem with their broad definition here. I just wish they had discussed the HTS and its derivation.
Understood, Your Honor, but I think it is important that they did come to that conclusion because there isn't a lot out there on this.
It may be. Okay.
So,
okay, we're going to get to the ENs now? Or we got halfway to the ENs.
We got to the beginning of them. I think to answer your question, yes, an engagement calendar is an American synonym for the British word diary. I think that the Mead Circuit Court would agree with that. And so that makes sense that engagement books are listed in the ENs for the heading 4820 because they're essentially interchangeable with engagement calendars. If you look at the late 80s, and we did go and buy a bunch of them, they're all very similar. There's another distinction, Your Honor, in addition.
Okay, I get something from a museum. It's called engagement calendar.
Yeah.
It's got a nice picture on one side, and it's got a week on the other.
Exactly. That's a very important point, Your Honor.
They call that an engagement calendar.
Yes.
It's not a diary. It doesn't have a lot of space to write things down in that sense. It's not a diary. But it's got space to write down my dentist appointment.
Well, but according to the definition, that's not what it's for. It's for recording things that have already, appointments
right.
that have already happened. There's another distinction,
it
Your Honor.
It seems that's a very American thing, an engagement calendar.
Agreed, and that's why we don't think the ENs are particularly helpful here, although they do point to an engagement book being essentially.
Well, the ENs explain what the HTS is, and
right.
Congress wants us to be consistent with the HTS.
Right. Right, so they did leave us with a little bit of work to do by listing those terms. But again, if you look at the definitions, those terms talk about, again, recording the past. But there's another very important point you made about engagement books and engagement calendars. It's very consistent for all of them, and it distinguishes them completely from the Blue Sky Planner. And that's just what you mentioned. Engagement books and engagement calendar, to an item, are not about those pages that have dates on them. They're about the paintings and the pictures and the baseball statistics and Weight Watchers recipes and all of those other bits of information that every single engagement calendar or book that we found has. And those other items are much more prevalent and important to the engagement book or calendar than any of the other dated space. I agree with you 100% on that. That's why people are buying them.
So
it can't be a calendar, even though it has dated pages.
That's interesting. Okay,
that's
so
not its primary
you're going to say the primary purpose of your planners is the part that contains the calendar for a particular year.
Almost every page contains a calendar page for that year, yes.
Okay.
Yes, whether it be a weekly view, monthly view, or
okay.
yearly view.
And you say that's the essence of this product.
Absolutely. Yeah,
all
almost
right.
90% or around 90% of the product is those calendar pages, those dated pages for every single day in 2021, in our case.
Okay, let's go to 49 EN. Let's go to 28 EN. Now here's 28. Okay. All right, this is for paper stuff. All this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, some articles in this heading contain a considerable amount of printed matter, but remain classified in this heading and not in 49, provided the printing is subsidiary to their primary use. For example, on forms, essentially for completion in manuscript or typescript, and diaries, essentially for writing.
Precisely.
Once again, diaries go in 49, because they're essentially for writing.
48, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And that holds true for every other item in Chapter 48, and particularly Heading 4820. They are all forms, essentially, or lined pages to be written in. They have no dates.
Okay. I'd say that what the government's approach to this is, it's not a calendar because it's essentially for writing.
And
your view is, no, it's essentially for keeping track of days.
Yes, but also because this is an EO nominate, but they're treating it like a use provision, but this is an EO nominate. It doesn't really matter what they're used for. It matters what it is. And a calendar is just a system of dates presented in print in chapter in heading 4810. That's exactly what the Blue Sky Planner is. It doesn't matter what it's used for. Use is a different provision. It's not a factor in the classification decision here. And I'm surprised that the government would rely so much on use.
Well, I guess the EN refers to use.
Sure, but the headings themselves are really, according to GRA 1, are what we should be primarily focusing on, along with the chapter and section notes. And in the headings,
Yeah.
In chapter and heading 4820, it lists very specific items, none of which have any relation to the Blue Sky Planner. It is not an account book, a receipt book, a letter pad, a memo pad. All of those things are pre-printed forms with no dates that are completed by someone to record past information for business purposes largely, right? A register, for example, Your Honor, is used to record births, marriages, deaths, that kind of important information. Not prospectively, because that hasn't happened yet, retrospectively. Same thing with the receipt book, an order book, an account book. These are all pre-printed forms, blank other than boxes to write in, definitely no dates, that are used to memorialize information so that later you can go back and say, oh, I wonder when that person was born. Oh, I wonder how many planners that company ordered. That's what the items in heading 4820 are used for. They're not used as a calendar. So even if you look at use, but even more particularly, planners aren't listed there. Calendars obviously aren't listed there. And the Blue Sky Planner is none of those items that is listed. So it's certainly not other either. Right? We're getting to that point.
Finished now on the ENs and where are we in this little discussion?
Well, I'm on number four. Following your question,
all right.
And that goes to the Mead product. And again, that was a case raised by the government in its reply in particular that I think is surprisingly raised because it completely proves the plaintiff's case. If you look at the definitions by the Federal Circuit, it is as I've discussed today. But more particularly, the reason that the Mead court didn't look at calendars is, as we mentioned, there were no calendar pages in the Mead item. They might have looked at it differently if there were, but there's not. And it's surprising, frankly, that the government didn't tell us that when they argued about Mead. So, again, I have a representative sample. We'll work with the government about that. But I think once we get it to Your Honor, it's going to become very clear that the product in Mead was completely distinct from the Blue Sky Planner and is properly put into the other category of heading 4820, unlike the Blue Sky Planner. Turning to the fifth question, which was a tough question for us, Your Honor, because you had us assume it's not a calendar, planner, and
that's really for the government.
We understand
that question's really for the government because you don't want it to be either one.
That is our answer. Yes, it is certainly neither. It is a calendar. It is exactly meets the British English definition of calendar. Therefore, because it is a term listed in the tariff, there's no need to go to any other headings, much less heading 4820.
I don't expect you to answer five.
Okay. And I think I've explained previously, Your Honor, why it's not a diary and why it's not an other, according to us. And so that's really addressing question five. Happy to answer any other questions, Your Honor.
I think you covered them. You can come back.
Okay. Yeah, happy to come back if you have any other questions after the government goes.
Right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. I'll just go right to your questions, and then we can, I guess, move around to the extent of any other questions. With respect to the British English, I haven't found anything to indicate that the entirety of the HTS is always interpreted in British English. While I agree that Victoria's Secret considered the British English definition of certain terms, the court didn't mandate that the court always interpret the terms of the HTS in British English.
Well, that's not the whole point. Is it's written, the HTS preamble basically says we're trying to comply with an international system. That international system is written in English and French. Congress, through the ITC, can change it. It has in certain cases. It took out lorries and put in motor vehicles for cargo or something. It took out vests and put in tank tops. It can change the word. It can also use additional American notes and change the international system. But I think the presumption is that unless something is changed, it's either the British or the French meaning, which have equal import in the HTS system, which Congress apparently wanted us to comply with. That's how I see it. So you have to look at each provision and see whether there was any change. Otherwise, it's the British/French meaning. That's how I see it. Am I wrong?
Your Honor, I would say that that makes sense. And frankly, the British definition of diary is favorable to us. But I haven't found any CIT or Federal Circuit case that makes that holding or makes that statement. And both CIT and Federal Circuit cases have routinely looked to the American English definition of the statutory terms. But as you said, because
somebody comes in and says, oh, that's not the meaning in the HTS, then, I mean, if it's the same word and there's no difference in the two dialects, English versus American, then you don't have any reason to say anything about it.
Exactly. I understand that this is a, the HTS, that makes sense, Your Honor. That makes sense, Your Honor.
I write an opinion that's going to say, hey, look, guys, let's see where we're starting from. And this is where we're starting from, and where we end up, I don't know, but that's where we're starting from. And sure have cases where the ITC has changed the language, and so then Congress adopts it, and it becomes an American definition because they took out the English. And sometimes they leave the English in. Wrenches and spanners. Anybody heard of a spanner in English? No.
I have not.
In American English? No. They had a big negotiation and they left in wrenches and spanners and put both in. You know, so there you go.
We're happy to have the British English, the American English. We were trying to just be consistent with what, you know, what's been done, but we're happy that the conclusion is that.
I think to me, if I were you, I would be arguing British English, British English, British English. You know, that's the only way you can win. That is the only way you can win. Anyway.
I will say there, we did feel bound by what the Federal Circuit, and which is why we interpreted
it. Am I bound by the Federal Circuit? If I'm not going to call this a calendar, and it sure has a calendar in it, I'm really torn between calling it other and diary. If it's not a calendar, it's because it's a diary.
What we already did in 4820.
So why am I bound by Mead?
We believe that you would be bound by Mead because of the interpretation of the term diary. Not saying that that is what we agree is
okay.
Accurate.
Let's talk about stare decisis and whether I'm actually bound. Calendar wasn't before. Therefore, they never looked at the ENs. Never mentioned the ENs. Nobody was talking about calendar versus diary. Therefore, they had no reason to go look at the broader definitions of diary. Then, I mean, what do I do with a case where nobody is making the arguments that are actually important to this case? Am I bound when nobody was making those arguments? Is that issue before them? I'm bound by issues they decided. They may have used words that say diary is retrospective, but am I actually bound by that when that wasn't the case before them? They didn't have anybody arguing this thing's a calendar, and they certainly didn't seem to, therefore, they didn't seem to have anybody go to the ENs, and they didn't seem to have any arguments about the HST.
Your Honor, I want to argue that you are not bound by Mead here.
If you want to argue that, tell me how I'm not bound, because it's a big problem for me.
Well, frankly,
tell me, how am I not bound by Mead?
Well, we had the same problem as that you're obviously having as well, because if we thought we could make that articulation, we would have made it in our brief, because Mead is not helpful to us, and nor do I think they did an accurate analysis of what is a diary. If there were no Mead, I would say that both what is encompassed in the American English and the British English definition of the term diary would satisfy the definition of that term.
All right. So you tell me, you're writing the opinion now. Tell me how I write it so I'm not bound by Mead. What do I say?
They certainly didn't have the exact same issue that's before this court, before them at the time. They didn't have, obviously, the arguments that you're identifying right now. They weren't discussing calendars. They didn't mention the explanatory notes. They didn't even consider the British English definition of the term. that's really just disagreeing with them, not so much saying that you wouldn't be bound. This is a legal determination of what is the scope of the statutory term.
I may ask you to write a supplemental brief. You're going to be supplementally doing other things, apparently looking at more evidence. Anyway, okay. All right, why don't you work on my questions? That was just an argument about diaries versus others, which is if I get to it, for plaintiff to win, I don't have, you know, if it's a calendar, I don't have to get to diaries versus others. But if I have to get to diaries versus others, I want to know what I'm supposed to do. Well, unless, can I avoid it? If, for example, they don't win and you win, can I say, well, duty's the same, I don't have to find the exact provision? Can I do that? Can I say, government wins under either one, I don't have to decide which?
No, I don't think you could do that, Your Honor. I can't do that. I wish that you could do that. I don't think that you can do that, Your Honor. You would have to pick between other and diaries. I believe that it falls within what would be the common meaning of the term diary. If you look at all the definitions, we would consider, or the court could consider, just like many other CIT and Federal Circuit cases have considered, both the British English and the American English definition of the term diary. The American English, as stated by Mead, is that a book to record retrospective events and allows for more than one sentence. The British definition is a book for keeping daily recordings of future arrangements or appointments.
That sounds inconsistent.
They're not exactly the same, but I think the term diary is broad enough that it could encompass them both. Because if you look in 4820, they both have the characteristics that are consistent with the items in heading 4820. They're stationary products, the common purpose of which is to provide space for writing and recording various information. We disagree with plaintiffs that one's only retrospective, one's only prospective. There's nothing in the heading or the characteristics of the items in the heading that indicate retrospective, prospective. So whether or not a diary, it's a book that has space to write things. Whether or not the intent, and plaintiff has just said that we shouldn't have been looking at what it's used for, what is it? It's a book with spaces for writing information that might have dates there, but if you look at two-thirds of the pages in these weekly planners, they're just line pages that have numbers throughout the page. On page 6 of our opening brief, you obviously have samples of them. We have a picture of what at least two-thirds of these books look like. So the American and British definition, while one of them might say in Britain we use this prospectively, here we use it retrospectively, but here we have a book with pages, it's a stationary item for writing various things, and it's consistent with all of the different items and heading 4820, which is why, even if you're finding other, which would mean you would do an adjusum generis analysis, we'd look at all the different terms in the heading, we would define all the terms in the heading and find their common characteristics, and that's it. It's stationary products, the common purpose of which is to provide space for writing information. I can appreciate the difficult decision that the court has to make with respect to diary versus other, but I do believe that is the decision that has to be made here, not whether or not it's in 4910 as a calendar. Just to go back, unless the court had, Your Honor had a question.
Well, okay. This is a toughie because most of it is a calendar. Most of it's a calendar. It's got weekly calendar pages, right? That's most of it is the weekly calendar pages?
I would disagree that the weekly pages are calendar pages. If you look at the definition of the term, we would say that only two-thirds, I think it's something like 36 pages are calendar pages. Those are the grid pages. So we have the bonus pages, there's 12 of those, and then we have the monthly pages within the planner that would be considered calendar pages. If you look at the common meaning
So you're calling the monthly pages calendars?
No, I wouldn't call I would say that those are calendar pages, but what we have to look at is what the product is as a whole, and the product as a whole is not a calendar. 106 or over two-thirds of the pages in here are weekly planner pages, and those are not calendar pages. Having a date on something is not dispositive as to whether or not it's a calendar. That'd be like saying if you had a date and there's five pages after a date, and we had one for every day of the year, that's now a calendar because there's a date on it. That's not dispositive. There's nothing to indicate that it is. The common meaning of the term calendar is a system or chart or some type of visual depiction or reference representing the breakdown of the year by days, weeks, or months. The purpose of the calendar is to determine where a day fits in reference to other days, weeks, or months of the year. And the definition provides context for chart and system. A dating of something makes it, according to Planet, makes it a system. Not everything with a date means it's a calendar. And if you look at the definitions, they clarify that. It's a system for fixing the beginning length and divisions of a year, for determining the beginning length and division of a year, and for arranging the weeks and months. That's not what those pages are. Those pages are planner pages that you can write, as Your Honor said, we're keep talking about prospective, retrospective. You can write whatever you want. Obviously, I mean, I use this exact type of product when I was at the firm, and I used to write down all my hours the day I did it. It wasn't prospective, it wasn't retrospective. I mean, that's what you use it for. And I believe plaintiffs have testified that you use
actually,
it for...
Actually, I'd call that retrospective. Anyway, if you're writing down... Anyway, if you're
but I think the point is that, and I think that plaintiffs would say they want people to use this product for whatever they want to use it for. They want to sell their product. They market it for retrospective for
all
a
right,
reason.
So people are using the dates, however they're doing it, either the way you were doing it to say what you billed on that particular hour, or they're doing it to record their dentist appointment 2 weeks from now. So they're still using it in a way that depends on it being part of the calendar year in a certain way.
That is true. And I think this might be where the explanatory notes are really helpful here.
Okay.
I mean, this skips us to number three. I mean, I could quickly go over number two, which is if one considers the British definition of the term diary as a subject merchandise or diary, I think...
Let me find my questions again. Okay.
Sorry.
I got it.
Okay. So just to go quickly through number two, it says if one considers the British definition of the term diary, is it a diary? I think the answer is clearly yes there. I mean, you can look at the British English definition in the Cambridge Dictionary, defines the term as a book with separate spaces or page for each day in which you write down future arrangements or meetings. Collins Dictionary has a similar definition. I think it's clear that that's the case. You mentioned engagement calendar, number three.
Well, I mention it because the EN certainly mentioned it.
Right. So engagement calendar, yes, it appears that it's an American term, although I'm not sure that it's only used in America and not anywhere else. But
have you found a British definition of engagement calendar?
I have not.
I don't think the other side did either.
Right, because even actually I found definitions for engagement calendar in the Oxford Dictionary and the Collins Dictionary, and they both reference that it's American English. That said, so we know it's used here, but it's an appointment book for the daily recording of social engagements or other appointments. In the Collins Dictionary, it's an appointment book for the daily recording of social engagements or other appointments. Same definition, similar in dictionary.com. So I think that the answer is the term engagement calendar and the British diary do appear to be synonymous. And for the same reason that the merchandise satisfies the definition of diary, it also satisfies the definition of engagement calendar. That's also synonymous with engagement book, which is included in the explanatory notes to 4820. So looking at the explanatory notes, I think it's very clear that it's an engagement calendar, which appears to be precisely what this is. It records social engagements and other appointments. I don't know how you would do that without identifying the date of those social engagements or other appointments. Otherwise, you wouldn't make it to those events.
So your point is that it's an engagement calendar which equals diary.
Which equals the British term of diary, which equals engagement book as well. Why they chose different terms, I have no idea, but it seems very clear that those terms, and engagement book is British English, in the Collins Dictionary says a book or diary in which people take a note of their social and business appointments.
What do you think a calendar is?
I think it's a grid. I think it's a grid that's printed on a page where you can reference where a date falls within the entirety of the month or maybe of the year.
Wall calendars with a pretty picture of the animals and then a month.
Right, those are calendars. There's nothing, those would be calendars. And if you look at the, on top of the inclusion of, or
you can now tell what I have in my house. I have things from a museum and things from Audubon Society.
I have these exact calendars. One's a picture of my kids, and then on the bottom there's a calendar grid. But that's what a calendar is. It's a grid. It enables you to reference. But if you look at the explanatory notes and put them side by side, there's a lot of overlap. It's not just the exclusion of engagement calendars from 4910. They talk about how important the printing itself is. And when you're looking at this particular product, the printing itself is not what gives it the product that issue. It doesn't give it its essential character.
Let's just talk about printing for a second. How important is it that this printing reflects the dates and days that correspond in a particular year, and therefore at the end of the year you have to pitch it because it's only going to confuse you?
I mean, I think it's important for the purpose of this product. I don't think it makes it a calendar, though. There's a lot of things that have dates. Everything with dates, that's not the criteria, or it would be in the explanatory notes, it would be in a chapter note. It would be very clear that you needed a date to make, that everything with a date is a calendar. If you take that to its logical, anything.
I don't say anything with a date. I said something that matches the dates to the correct days in a particular year. I mean, that's why these things are useful, right? We know that Monday is the 14th or Tuesday is the 15th, right? That's why it's helpful to us, right?
It is, but the same thing would be true of a daily planner where you have one day, a whole page for it, so you're saying or if you had multiple pages for a particular day, does that make it a calendar? I don't think it does. I think that the printing on the page has to give it its essential character for it to be a calendar, and it's a visual depiction of the calendar. That's the printing on the page. You don't need any more for something to be a calendar, and that's what they explain to current.
I think I asked you my need questions already, which aren't plaintiff's questions. They're your questions.
Right.
So I'm not going to make him decide between diary and other. If he loses. Okay. Anything else?
I didn't speak about question four, the subject merchandise similar to the merchandise meet. I mean, it's from what we understand, it's similar. There's not a ton of information in the decision as to what they are. I mean, plaintiff has said that the government should have told me whether or not there were dated. I don't know if there's dated pages. You can't find a planner or a sample of the Mead thing.
Yes, we don't know exactly what was in Mead. From their description, it sounds a bit different from what we have here.
I think it's different, but I think that there are similarities that we felt required that we consider that in terms of what the definition of the diary is and in the ultimate conclusion. There were different pieces, but the one piece that the CIT and the Federal Circuit seem to be looking at more intently is the daily planner section in determining what this was, and that's why they determined it was an item similar to a diary.
So before Mead, was Customs Service throwing this into diaries?
I wouldn't know that. I mean, I don't know how it was being entered. I really don't know.
Because they seem to jump on other, and I guess they jumped on other because of Mead. So I'm wondering if before Mead they were doing something else.
I know there are some rulings where the result of the ruling was that a similar product was a diary, because we reviewed them in anticipation of early on in the case. And I felt that given what it said in Mead that we were bound by the holding in Mead. If the court thinks otherwise, we're happy to have these items put in diary. They are different products, but the interpretation, the tariff provision is the same. It's exactly the same. I think that it was incorrect and it was narrow in what its determination as to what a diary is. But even if it's not a diary, I think it clearly can go into the other provision given what the common characteristics and purposes of the items that are listed in 4820, stationary items used to include a variety of...
You know, Judge Watson usually didn't botch these things. So
Well, I...
what can I say?
I think it could have been clearer. I think there could have been a better definition. It doesn't need to be what it is.
Well, at least Mead didn't have a calendar, so...
It didn't have a calendar, but I think that
so
there was...
It's not going to decide the essential question of this case, because it didn't have a calendar.
It didn't have a calendar well, actually, it had a calendar section, but that's all we know is it had a calendar section, is that's what's identified on the...
It had a calendar section. You mean it had a page that had the whole year?
I think it just says, I can look at it, but I'm pretty sure it says something like calendar.
What do you think?
The biggest mile contains a calendar.
What is it?
If we look on page, it's the 1344. It's just not that, there's just not that much information about it.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Doesn't tell you a darn thing.
It just says it has a calendar. It doesn't really.
How am I going to be bound by something that does? I don't know what it is.
I don't think you're bound by it in terms of what the classification here is, because it is a different product. We were speaking more towards the interpretation of the tariff term, which is the same.
Okay. One of the judges from the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit once told me, don't pay attention to what we say. Pay attention to what we hold. What did it hold?
That the merchandise in that case was classified as other.
And not a diary.
It was an item similar to a diary.
An item similar to a diary, but not a diary.
That's what that case held.
That's the holding of Mead?
An item similar to a diary classified as other.
Okay. All right. So. Okay. So, Mr. Duncan, you're representing to me here today that you know more about what was in Mead than I do, and that it didn't really have a whole lot of pages of calendar. It had a calendar grid?
No, it did not.
Oh, what did it have?
It had blank pages that you could write dates in, but that's not a calendar.
It didn't? Well, then why did the Federal Circuit say it had
a
calendar?
There is a section called calendar, but that section has blank pages in it. It doesn't have actual calendar pages.
That's
and again,
really
that will become apparent when we get the. I'm representing that, and I'm not saying you have to agree
okay.
with it. It's, but that
yeah,
is.
He's not presenting
see,
it. I don't have it. He has to talk to you about
yeah.
it.
And I think it would be helpful to the court, so I'm sure we can work that out.
Yeah, that might be helpful to the court to know what it was in that case. But
yeah.
if you can't work it out, it's all right. I'll go with what I have here. But if you can work it out, that would be good. To know exactly what they were looking at, then I would know a lot about. Would help me decide what I'm bound by and what I'm not bound by if I get there.
Well, I'm going to ease your pain, Your Honor, because you don't need to go to Mead.
I know you.
Yes. You don't need to go to Mead. It is a calendar, and it
all. It would make my life easy if I could say, well, it looks like a calendar to me, and I know a calendar when I see it, and this is a calendar.
Yeah.
But that's not the way we do the HTS now.
Well, but the definition of calendar is quite broad. It's actually much broader than government counsel was representing. And that's proven right there in the tariff heading. Because in addition to stating calendars, by the way, of any kind, could not be broader.
I know. It's a broad eonominate.
It includes calendar blocks, which certainly do not have a grid, do not have a table, do not have a chart or anything like that. Those are calendar block is one page for each day. And you flip over that page every day and tear it off or do whatever you want.
Yeah, like I have Frida Kahlo's face.
Exactly.
In a block. And
that's
you
it.
Know, you flip off those pages and throw them out, and she loses her forehead.
That's right. Right, and you can take as many notes as you want on those pages, by the way. That doesn't make it a notebook or something else. That's a calendar. And it's very clear right in the heading. We don't even need to look at the ENs.
Okay.
It's listed in the heading
it's
itself,
a calendar.
Calendar
it's,
block. Which
I don't
is
know.
A,
blocks are pretty different. I mean,
exactly.
You do throw away the pages as they happen, so it's not going to be much of a record of anything.
Exactly, yeah. So that's, why we would go back to the beginning and say this actually is a case of a calendar.
I'm not sure what the purpose of those things is, except to decorate my desk.
Yeah, they're kind of fun to have. There's fun facts. Every day you get a different fact or riddle or joke or something. Okay. But those are calendars, according to the Congress, right? That's not even the end. That's Congress. So that would be an important point. And I think the other point I'd like to make in closing, unless you have any other questions, Your Honor, is the point you made. These planners, like all calendars, are quite distinct. They are really only to be used for one calendar year, right? We can't use the calendar year 2021 planner now. It's of no use to us. A diary, an engagement book, a journal, these other items that are listed in Heading 4820, these can be used indefinitely.
Well, let me tell you this. People have, like, diaries for a year.
Yes.
And you could have a diary that had the date on every page, and then you would use it for the year, and you wouldn't throw it out. It was your record of that year. Right?
I think those are less common, but I agree they do exist. I would say the primary character of that diary is not those dates. It is actually the large-scale recording of information, which is certainly not the case with a planner. At most, you're talking a few sentences, at the very most. So this item is for tracking dates. It's okay. So that you know what's going to happen, you know, on March 26th. You look at your calendar, you look at your Blue Sky planner, and you know you're supposed to be in this courtroom at 1:30 for oral argument in this case. That's what a calendar is for.
Okay.
And that's quite distinct from not only diaries, but every other item listed in 4820. All of those receipt books, order books, and all those other things are all undated items, could be used in perpetuity in general. They don't need to be dated, in other words. They can be used for whatever their purpose is, regardless of whether they're dated or not. This Blue Sky Planner can only be used for 2021. It is completely obsolete and can never be used again. Actually, it's over there. I don't know why I keep pointing over there. It's over there. And that makes it completely distinct from those items that are specifically listed in Heading 4820. And that's why it's a calendar and should be classified as such, Your Honor.
I have your argument. I always say that the hardest cases in this court are customs cases, by far. Everything else is easy. You know.
I don't envy you, Your Honor.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
Let me talk
Thank
to
you.
Somebody here. Let me ask anything else. Let me do. Okay. My clerk thinks we've covered the topic. Okay. Have we any more business left to do? You guys are going to talk about whether you're going to go find the thing that you can agree was in need. If you can, fine. If you can't agree on that, that's also fine. I'm pretty sure that what we have here was not what they had in need. The question is how much more it wasn't like me. Anyway, so I'm probably not going to be determinative. But if you find it and you agree on it, that's fine with me. Anything else we want to discuss here? Your motion to strike is denied. Motions to strike where it's a judge decision are pretty useless. The court will think about, will probably... And you throw out what is not going to be very determinative. What people settle about is not determinative. I don't care about what you settle. You can throw everything away. I'm doing a case where the Court of Appeals told me I have to settle on a provision when nobody even argues about it. You know, it's like, this is like craziness. So what would I care what you settle about if I can't even... stop when you guys stop. I have to keep going. So, like I say, customs is wonderful. Anyway, always entertaining. I'm happy to see you. You guys know what you're talking about, so it's fun to listen to you. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Court stands adjourned.